Well, once again, I'm a grateful believer in Jesus. I am having some consecutive years of victory in my addiction to alcohol, and that's good. And then I've got a whole bunch of other stuff that I'm here for. My name's Jack. With the name badge on this time, it didn't get cooked in the stove, so that's good. So tonight, we're going to continue on in our teaching series. And it's a little bit of a participatory night. So you may want to grab a pen as they're coming around, and also a folder or a handout if you don't normally do, because I've included a couple of extra pieces of information that I'd really like to, over the next two Wednesdays. So we're going to break our routine of teaching testimony. We'll do two teachings in a row, which I typically do with the Spiritual Inventory 1 and Spiritual Inventory 2 lessons, just so there's some continuity, because we're going to be looking at four areas each week, okay? And so I just want to get you thinking and acting in an inventory mode. And this idea that we are going to do a fearless and searching moral inventory. And this is something we do in our step studies. And so if you have not participated in a step study, consider getting in one next time one rolls around. There's two versions. There's the intro, what we call the journey begins. There's the advanced, which is the journey continues. And there's a journey continues going on right now for men. Ladies just finished up a journey begins. And hopefully we're going to start a journey begins for men with some guys from this CR, as well as there's some neighboring CRs that have a number of men that individually don't have really enough to do a step study. Because I think a good step study should have 6 to 10 folks in it from varying different backgrounds, struggling with varying different things, because we just get a real good feel for that. So anyway, we'll hope to put that together. But you do that in as part of your step study. So tonight, when we teach the lesson, I want to get you thinking about just a general inventory, the concept of inventory in your life. And basically, it's just self-examination, okay? And we take a look at principle 4. For instance, says, openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And the beatitude that goes with us are happy are the pure in heart. And step 4 coincides with this lesson. It says, we made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. And Lamentations 3:40 says, let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. So we're always testing them against the Lord, not what the world says, not what everybody else does. I was one of those alcoholics that didn't drink any more than my friends. Of course, all my friends were alcoholics, so of course I didn't drink anymore. So that's not a fair test, okay? So that's what an inventory is. It's really just that self-examination and looking at ourselves. And so that can be daunting. And I've shared this story before, but just this is to the extent of how blind we can be about issues in our life. And this was when I was in the Columbia River Correctional doing a step study for the prisoners in there. And they go through the step study, they do an inventory. They don't get sponsors for each other. The leaders are their sponsors, and so they give their inventory to us in the prison. So myself and my partner, we took all the inventories at some point in time. But going through these teachings and going through these lessons and going through these steps, and a guy in there sitting there in prison, and he's looking at the inventory sheet, and he's thinking, I just don't know if I've got anything to put on the inventory. And I said, well, let's start with why you're in prison. How about we do that? You know, and it was totally a blind spot to him, because that was his life. That was just the everyday and had been for a little bit of his life. And so that would be something that maybe we'd want to kind of delve into. How'd that happen? What was the path that got you here? That's what we do in the inventory. So it can be difficult, even when maybe sometimes situations or circumstances are glaring, to do this. And that's why we have accountability partners. That's why we have sponsors. And you don't do an inventory without a sponsor. But tonight, I just want to give you a little bit of a head start. Okay. Now, for those of you that have done inventories, you all know that part of the recovery walk is continuous inventories. And so if it's your first night in here, that's fine. You can participate in the lesson tonight, because it's going to just ask some basic questions, okay? So we're going to look at four areas that I want you to mine as you do your next inventory, or even if you're doing kind of your daily or check-in inventory, or kind of looking at, you know, when I say examine yourselves, or let us examine our ways and test them, tonight we're going to cover four areas. If you're kind of thinking, oh, where do I start, or where do I, we're going to have four areas that you might want to consider examining in your life. And so there's some fill-ins on your handout there. And the first one we're going to be looking at is your relationship with others. Your relationship with others. Now, I will give you a heads up on the little flyer that was out, you know, the insert, we'll call it that, the insert here. I've given you just a focus question to either jot some notes down or think about, whether it's to, you know, right now or whether it's later on as you kind of delve into this. And the one that I picked out of the step study was, who are you holding a grudge against or seeking revenge? And so that might be an area that may be fertile for some of you. For others, perhaps not, okay? So relationship with others is an area. And so within that, in addition to that one question that I put there, you want to take a look at who has hurt you. That's a place to start many times. Who are you jealous of? Would be another area. Have you tried to justify a bad attitude by saying it's somebody else's fault? And just as we started with the hurt, who has hurt you, who have you hurt? And that can sometimes be a blind spot in our lives. And that's where we need, as we kind of come clean and get out of denial, maybe people will be forthcoming with that. Many times, though, we know maybe the top three in our life, so we can start there. And so those are just some of the things. And I guess one other thing would be, and this is a big one in our society today, because I think this is a lot of social media, if you're on that, who have you been critical of or gossiped about? And it seems to me, not being a guy on social media, because I know I'd get kicked off immediately, I would definitely be the trolling type. I troll, you know, without social media. That's a character defect of mine. That's one of the reasons I'm here tonight. But that critical and gossip about, there's just and just think about that. I'm oftentimes, you've heard me say before, I am trying to get myself to a place where I love first, and then judgment comes somewhere down the line. But typically, judgment's the first thing. And I come upon a situation when I observe somebody at the grocery store or wherever. I make a judgment instead of wondering about their story, having some love for them, you know, that type of thing. So that's a big one for folks. Okay, so that's area number one, relationships in your life. Priorities in your life is the second fill in your life. Priorities in your life. And then on your insert, you've got seven areas. And I'd like you to just take a moment to rank those, 1 through 7, what's most important in your life, what's your priority right now, what's the least. And I want you to be honest. As I was looking at my last step study, I had family first, money second, Jesus gets third in my life, on my order here. So that kind of shows you how messed up I am. Other areas as far as priorities, what in your past is interfering with you doing God's will? It's kind of a lengthy thing, but in other words, it kind of comes into what's stopping you from going all in and following him. After making your decision to turn your life and your will over to God, in what areas of your life are you still not putting God first? So obviously on my list, I'm putting family and money first before God. And I that was just an honest, as I looked about what do I stress about, where do I put my priorities, what do I put my effort into, my time, it was in those two things above God. Who did your priorities or who does your priorities impact or affect. In my using years, the priority was alcohol first and foremost. I didn't have Jesus in my life because I wasn't a believer. I was an atheist. So that was an easy deal. I didn't even have to worry about that. But alcohol was number one. And then money probably, and then lying, and then getting away with it, and then hiding alcohol, and then drinking alcohol, and then looking at alcohol, somewhere, you know, in that range. So that priority of alcohol impacted or affected my family a great deal, and other people, certainly my friends. So maybe that's an area that you want to look at in your life. What was good? Because we talk about in the inventory keeping it balanced, so we'll throw in some good stuff as well. What was good about your priorities? There's some good things to having family first and my concern for providing for them and money first. There's some good things with that. I just don't need to elevate it above Christ because none of those things happen or happen well without him, kind of thing. But there's good things that your priorities may have generated. And my priority to be to make alcohol the focus ultimately got me here. Ultimately got me in a relationship with Christ, because without the addiction and the humbling experience and that be just the total lack of control in my life, there would have been no way I would have sought a savior, because I was in control of everything. So that priority in God's plan of to getting me to him, he just left the details up to me. You want to drink yourself to Jesus? Okay, fine. Go ahead, do it. Just get to me. What was wrong with your priorities? That's another question to ask yourself as well. So anyway, if you answered that priorities in life thing honestly, just kind of see where you sit on that, and just kind of what kind of folds into the next area we're going to look at of the four, which is your attitude, is our third fill-in. And I put in the insert there, in the past, what things have you been ungrateful over, as a kind of one to focus in on tonight. And this might be an excellent, there is a focus question in your packet, but this might be something you want to share with in your small group tonight as well. What in your past is still causing you fear or anxiety? Have you gotten angry or easily blown up at people? Have you been sarcastic? That's one you have to be very careful with. In fact, some people say you wouldn't. There's no place for sarcasm in your life at all. On the positive side, what things have you or are you grateful for? And perhaps as you dig down a little bit deeper, what's the source of those things that you're grateful for? How much of that is coming with your relationship from Christ? How much is that coming with restored relationships for those who've been walking the walk for a while? How much of that is coming from overcoming fears, hurts, and habits, and hang-ups, and all that? So let's not forget the positive, but the negative, or the, sorry, the positive, and just focus on the negative. But it's that attitude that is crucial in walking into this room to begin with, but then real recovery. You can go through the motions. You can show up here. You can go to small group. You can talk. You can come for dinner. But if the attitude is not one of the best place to be on a Wednesday night, or this is what I want to do, or this is the value, I'm seeing the value in it, there's going to be a disconnect there. In the drinking world, we would call that a dry drunk. We would call that somebody who's not drinking, but they're not in recovery. And I did that for 20 plus years, on and off. Never was really in recovery. I just wasn't drinking. And there was some ignorance. I didn't know what real recovery looked like till I got to CR. So I didn't have a baseline. But I did know real recovery when it whacked me on the head, because there was a whole different feeling. And so that comes with the attitude. The last area we'll be looking at, or want you to kind of mine for a check-in, an inventory if you're doing one, would be your integrity. And I just selected for the insert there, does your walk, your Christian walk, match your talk? Are you set apart and living that way? I believe there's one of my favorite phrases from Alcoholics Anonymous is that it's a program of attraction, not promotion. That to me is Christ. He's a savior of attraction, not promotion. There's just so many things that you get from being in step with him. And so walk that walk. Some other areas that you want to kind of touch base with your integrity. Things like, in the past, were you dishonest in, let's say, business dealings or even just relational dealings? Are you like me and you had a propensity to take things that weren't yours? Shoplifting, stealing. I did a lot of that. That's built into my pride. I wanted it. I didn't want to pay for it. Because money's important, more important than Christ, remember. So I'll just take it. Have you exaggerated yourself to make yourself look better? Maybe better than somebody else. Or just to look passable, to look normal. I did that. False humility. I don't know. That was something that was a major epiphany when I got into recovery, because that was my whole life, was false humility. I pretended to care. I pretended to have self-effacing humor. But the attitude, the inside me was, I am so much better than you, it's not even funny. But I know that I can't say that because that looks bad, so I'll pretend that I'm, you know, just normal. Okay. Now I know that I am severely messed up, but so are you. So who cares? That's why we're here. You know, the term broken or sinner, but getting my head around that and knowing that if I ever find myself thinking or uttering, and this kind of maybe flees back to the attitude, well, I didn't deserve that. Then I really think about what I really do deserve. Once again, as in God's realm here, I deserve everything that I get, you know, from the standpoint. Now, this is not to say that if you are a victim of physical or sexual or social or mental abuse, you deserve that. No, you don't deserve that. I'm talking about when I start whining about I'm not getting my way, or I wish if I'd only done this or done that or whatever. No, God's been gracious to me in many, many, the fact that I'm still alive after what I did to my body with alcohol. So I just need to step back and receive that grace and that gratitude. Have you pretended to live one way in front of your Christian friends or your recovery friends, and are another way when you're at home or work? And I think the answer to that for all of us is probably yes at some point, because it's hard to do this perfection thing 24/7. But more and more, I'm just trying to be just a little bit better. I'm trying to make fewer mistakes today than I made yesterday. I'm trying to make only new mistakes, is one of the ways somebody put it to me one time. And so just that idea of being the same and letting that carry over. Don't just be this way at work or at church or in a recovery group, and then you go home and you're not working the eight principles, you're not walking with Christ. So those are the four areas that we'll look at this week. Relationship with others, attitude, your integrity, and what was the fourth one? Priorities in life. Thank you. All areas, and to say, I've just given you a couple just in writing here that you can kind of, you know, meditate on. If you're in a step study or you've done a step study, your workbooks have many more questions to answer. And if you haven't been in a step study, this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg tonight of what you would do in a step study when you start getting into your inventory, start really, and what you do is you write responses down and you share those with your brothers and sisters in that. And you get to hear, one, that you're not alone in struggling with these things. And two, it's interesting what somebody else is struggling with. Maybe you've got some victory in that area and you can come alongside them as an accountability partner. And they've got victory in an area that you can't seem to get a hold on, and they can help you. And that's how we do this thing. So just encourage you to get into a study when the next available one comes up. As I mentioned, next week we'll cover four more areas that I want you to look at. This week it's really more internal and about us. Next week we're going to go outside a little bit and kind of look at kind of four areas that we may interact with in our daily lives, like work and church and things like that. And so that's coming next week, so stay tuned. All right, that is all I have for you today. Let me close the teaching in prayer. Heavenly Father, search us and encourage us to search ourselves and to examine our ways, as it says in Lamentations, and then to get to know you more so that we can make a fair assessment of that test, where are we falling short? We know we fall short, Lord, but we know that you provide guidance on ways to elevate us and move us towards ultimately what you're going to do with us, and that is to perfect us. And Lord, I just pray that each of us in the room tonight takes this inventory and this idea of examining our ways and testing them seriously, and that we are able to clean out things that just don't match up with who you created us to be. And those things, if others are like me, I want to hang on to a lot of those. So give me the strength to release those, Lord, to be humble, to have a sense of humility, to ask for help, to rid any little bit of denial that may be in these areas. And Lord, I ask that you put this on our hearts in a gentle manner. We're all here at different places in our recovery walk, and I asked that you just give us what we can handle, even though it's not what we'll eventually be able to handle. Lord, I pray these things in your name. Amen.